Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan Saracini, and joining me this evening via Skype is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, the Islanders did it. They swept the Pittsburgh Penguins, and now they await their next opponents. And the Hurricanes and Capitals are now tied, so all we got to do is sit and wait some more. And, you know, we talked about the two best days of the hockey fan season being the 2 days, like, just before the playoffs start. But I got to tell you, the days after your team sweeps their first round opponent and then has to sit around and wait for another opponent might actually be better, because I have no idea what to do with myself. This is a very strange feeling.
They are better. I woke up today's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I woke up today and I was mad at myself for not making more of yesterday, you know, going out and taking care of whatever I needed to, because I don't have to worry about the Islanders for a couple more days, and I want to make sure I relish that feeling as much as possible, because it's bar none. It's just, that was the first thing like I really thought about. I was at Off the Wagon, that whole thing with I was originally going to Offside with my friends, and they had that flood in their basement or whatever. And
oh geez, I just heard about that. Oh boy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. We could talk about it a little bit, but so as soon as we were leaving, we're like, the best part of this thing, like, sure, like getting to the second round is the best part, obviously, but the biggest perk of this all is we have like a week of not in the middle of the NHL. So we have a week to just
enjoy it. I'm actually looking at, I'm on hockeyreference.com right now, and I was just curious, like, when the Islanders beat the Panthers and then moved on to the second round against the Lightning, I was like, I don't remember how many days off there were in between, but it was three. Apparently they beat the Panthers in game six on April 24th, and then game one against the Lightning, which the Islanders won, by the way, 5-3, was on April 27th. So yeah, this is a very weird feeling. I'm not going to go back and look at the Dynasty Islanders and how many sweeps they had and how long they had to sit around and wait, but that was a different era too. I don't think they probably sat around and waited nearly as long as these Islanders are, but hey, when you get a sweep, that's what happens, you know? And we talked, and I don't think any of us really thought that, even after they won the third game, I think we both kind of felt that the Penguins would win game four, or at least come out and play better. I'm not sure if we thought that the Islanders would sweep. We said it would be great, but we didn't think it would happen. The Penguins actually did play better in game four. You could argue that it was the first game, the only game in the series they actually showed up for. But it didn't really matter. Jake Guentzel had a goal 35 seconds in. His first point of the series, Sidney Crosby's first point of the series on an assist, only point of the series on an assist. But 2 minutes later, Jordan Eberle did what he's been doing, which is scoring early right after the Penguins score. And then Brock Nelson made it 2-1 Islanders at about the 18-minute mark of the first period, and it would stay that way for a long time. The Islanders had a really bad second period. The Penguins kind of turned it up, and they outshot the Islanders 14-10. But the Islanders, you know, in looking at the stats, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this later, like, I thought the Islanders played kind of a bad game, but also the Penguins played a better game. And it turns out, in looking at the stats, there was still a very, very Islanders game. They controlled the high danger chances for the most part. They controlled the front of the net. The Penguins, you know, didn't really, they had the overall shot, weighted towards them, but the Islanders did what they did, and Robin Leonard was outstanding. And it was 2-1 with about a minute to go. The Penguins put out they pulled Matt Murray. They put out their best guys, and Butch and Brendan are like, if you needed a goal, these are the six guys you would need on the ice. It's Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, Guentzel, Letang, Schultz. These are the guys. And in about a second, the puck was loose. Josh Bailey jumped on it, and he scored a 180-foot empty net goal, and the series was over. And it was a very, very weird feeling. And I scared my wife half to death, because I jumped up and yelled on the couch, and she was like asleep. And they did it. And I still have no idea how to react to it, because it's still kind of like almost, I don't know, surreal. Like, it's just a very weird feeling.
It is surreal. What ended up happening was, I was kind of stuck in between. Like, I was in the city for work, and I was trying to figure out if I was going to go home or not for the game, and the train, if I would make a train to get home in time, and it just wasn't going to happen. So I made plans with a couple buddies to go to Offside, and we got there and they just basically were asking people to leave just because there was a flood in the, there was a flood in the basement. And the guy was like, they're going to take good care of you at Off the Wagon, which is down by like Cafe What on McDougal Street. So like,
I know where that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny because when I used to work at MLB, I used to work nights, and once in a while I would go to Cafe Y after the Sunday night shift with my buddy Cody, and we just would go listen to music, and the next thing we know it would be like 6 a.m. But we're there, and the atmosphere was awesome, obviously, and then that Bailey goal was just, I mean, it was bedlam. And then you like as that final whistle blew and like or the horn blew, you just the look around the place, everybody had the same shocked, elated look on, like if it's just like as if everyone saw a ghost, but it was a ghost of like their favorite person that ever died, like that kind of look, you know, like they were still shocked,
right.
But it was just pure joy, and the like people were just hugging. I just like the amount of people that I've hugged over these four games, it's just now got to be closer to triple digits. it was great that it was Bailey again, and I don't even know like what this guy like is gonna be like or you know how Josh Bailey got to be this guy, like, but he is just becoming like the coolest Islander ever, and I'm so happy it was him who scored that goal. And you know that video of the little kid singing his song has made its way around the internet. It's just like I love that Josh Bailey's name is now like starting to become a positive thing for basically everybody, like not just Islander fans but around the league. Cause he's just done things the right way, and it's like, oh God, I just love the guy. but yeah, I mean, I thought the Penguins were good. I mean, Sidney Crosby, like, I'm sure a lot of people listening have that game DVR'd. If you watch that game again, which I'm sure you're gonna do, because we have a bunch of days still to go. I mean, Sidney Crosby was a monster in that game.
I was telling a friend of mine today that, you know, in watching him, he was a monster, and you know, he was all over the place, and. After a while, it made me start to think of him. It was almost like a game we had seen countless times during the Islanders' John Tavares era, where, you know, Tavares was, and again, separate yourself and turn the hatred off for a second, but like there were games where Tavares was a man possessed, and he was just out there trying to like literally will his team by himself to victory, and they would lose because the rest of the guys weren't really doing much. And, you know, yeah, you can look at it as, well, Sidney Crosby hits a post, and if he doesn't, then the Islanders are tied or they lose the game or whatever. And yeah, I guess that's true. But at the same time, this is hockey and those things happen. You know, Getzel, again, waited three games to score a goal. They had this Dominic Simone up on, I think, that line. No, they put Jared McCann on that line. And, you know, McCann had a pretty quiet series, but apparently he was hurt. Thanks for a check from Nikolai Kuhlman Nikolai Kuhlman. Leo Komarov that nobody remembers hurt McCann. And so he was 100%. He missed game two. But yeah, like Crosby was out there doing everything he could, man. And I know we all hate the guy and all, but like that's what captains kind of do sometimes. But unfortunately, this is hockey and there's 20 other guys on the team and they didn't do much. Evgeny Malkin's tweet quotes after the series were really depressing. I felt bad. Like unbelievable. He's just like, maybe we don't have enough to win. No, nobody wants to respect Penguins anymore. Now they just beat us and that's it. It's like, dude, nobody's given the respect to the Islanders for 30 years. Are you kidding me? If anything, people respect you guys too much, you know, but he had a very, very quiet series. I thought Kessel had a very quiet series after that first game. I didn't think he was very good at all. And, you know, the Penguins defense was, you know, four guys that were actively hurting them. And, you know, maybe Justin Schultz was the only guy who was pretty good. And so when your best players are like Justin Schultz, Erica Branson, and, you know, Matt Cullen, I think you're in trouble, you know, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, what's funny is we had been clamoring for months. I mean, since basically the trade deadline when it was pretty evident the Islanders were going to make the playoffs and they were going to either play the Hurricanes or Penguins in all likelihood. And we wanted to play the Penguins. And then we finally got to that point. And then we're like, oh, shit. Like,
now we got to play the Penguins. Oh, my God.
We got to play Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin now. And you kind of saw why. Like, I mean, it made sense because the Penguins play a high risk, high reward game, and if you're going to do that against a team like the Islanders, they're going to make you pay for your mistakes, and they did twice, and that's all they needed to do, thanks to like the absolute warlock and goal that they have. The Islanders were able to I thought maybe game one was the Islanders' worst game. Game four was definitely their second worst, but two and three were just awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, if you're going to win a best of seven series, there's going to be one game where you chalk up to goaltending. And that was what game four was. I mean, Robin Leonard was unbelievable in that game. And once again, he didn't really make a standout, like, you know, five-star glove-whipping save, but he made several really, really good saves, especially down low. Obviously, Scott Mayfield probably had the save of the game.
Yeah.
But like, Leonard was just so good and such a calming presence back there on goal mouth scrambles. I think, like, of any Islander goalie, I remember when Kevin Poulin was playing, and there would be, like, a rebound and, you know, a little bit of a scramble in front of the net. No matter what, that puck ended up in the back of the net. And I was always like, he's got to be the worst goalie at trying to come out of a chaotic scramble with the puck in his glove. And I think Leonard might be the best I've seen as an Islander. He is just, he's in control. He's big. He uses his body very well. And when he has the opportunity to kill a play, he does it. And the Islanders, we all owe him that win. I think it's pretty fair to say. I thought he was just like stupendous, because I actually thought the defense was a little off. A lot of that has to do with the fact that Boychuk left injured. But like, you know, I didn't think Devon Taves was all that great in game four, but and Pelech made a couple mistakes and Ryan Pulock was all right, but Robin Leonard was there. And I mean, people keep saying, oh, he's going to regress, but yes, he's not going to play, you know, 95%. He's not going to have a 95 save percentage throughout the playoffs. But I mean, usually if you're getting good goaltending, like you're in a good spot, and you can't just say like this guy at some point he's just not going to be playing well. It's not fair to him, and it's not fair to your readers or whatever. Like, he's locked in, he's playing well, and the team is obviously playing a game that suits him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have a 50-game sample at this point where he's played very well. So I think people not giving credit to Leonard for his performance is a little unfair, because the dude was just out of this world in game four. Maybe like the most important goaltending performance I've ever seen is from when you think about the game and the stakes, from an Islander goalie in my lifetime.
Yeah, no, it was he was really, really good. And you know, the thing about, too, you bring up a good point, like the kind of diminishing of what he's done. You know, it's not like the Islanders give up a ton of shots either. Like, you know, they used to diminish Marty Brodeur's accomplishments because, like, wow, the Devils don't give up 20 shots a game. Like, they give up less than that. So, of course, anybody could do that. And it's like, yeah, but the guy still has to stop a lot of those shots, you know. The Rangers gave up a ton of shots, and, you know, everybody loves Henrik Lundqvist, and he's great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he isn't that great anymore, but like there's this kind of like idea that it's almost like people kind of want to get ahead of the train coming off the track, as opposed to kind of enjoying what's going on right now. And Leonard, like the rest of the Islanders, is never going to get the kind of credit that they deserve. And we'll talk a lot about that in the second half, but he was outstanding, and he was where the Islanders needed to be, and he's very calm. You know, I remember when the Islanders acquired Yaroslav Halak, we were like, wow, he's so calm in the net. Like, he's a total departure from Rick DiPietro, who was like, you know, literally a fish out of water. Like, he was scrambling all over the place, and, you know, sometimes he would make a spectacular save, and a lot of times the puck would, you know, bounce off of his ass into the net. And it was like, that's the kind of thing you had to live with. And so then the Islanders got Thomas Greiss, and it was like, wow, this guy's even calmer than Halak is. I mean, you could argue that Leonard is even more calm than even Greiss is, at least on the ice. Off the ice, it's pretty clear that Leonard is still a pretty fiery guy. He got into it with Patrick Hornquist, a little sweet on sweet action there, you know. And then they were all like huggy afterwards. So I don't know what the deal was. Hornquist, I hate anyway, but. Yeah, no, they're not here without Robin Leonard for sure. And he's really just, you know, we talked about this now for a bunch of weeks. Like, he just seems to really appreciate this team and really appreciate where they are and want to make the most of this moment. And like, he's in the playoffs now and he's doing this thing, and he was really just locked in. And yeah, definitely Scott Mayfield's leg save on somebody there at the end, I forget who, was pretty remarkable. I think it was Kessel, yeah, but it was pretty remarkable. But you know, this is the kind of goaltending you need to get in the playoffs. Yep. And you know, let's not forget, like, we've seen some goalies literally drag teams that were a little bit deficient to Stanley Cup finals. Again, at the aforementioned Marty Brodeur, in his last gasp as a New Jersey Devil, took a, you know, an okay Devils team to the Stanley Cup finals. Like, he was out of his mind that year. I'm not saying the Islanders are ticketed to the finals, but I'm saying, like, if you get a goalie who's on a streak like this, man, you gotta keep it going as long as you can.
And they're part of the team. Like, when you talk about the New York Islanders, you're not just talking about the 18 players in front of the goalie. You're also talking about the goalie. Like, the goalie counts towards the team. And I know it's hard. They're hard to project. But and Leonard especially, because he wasn't very good in the past 2 years. But, you know, there's got to be something to be said that, all right, maybe now we're starting to see what this guy's true talent level is, because his mind is clear, because he's healthy, like, because he's figured things out off the ice, which really, really had a huge effect on him. Like, this, maybe this is who Robin Leonard is. People forget, like, when he first was coming up with the Senators, and even when the Sabres acquired him, he was well thought of. Like, this is a goalie who's about to blossom into a very good NHL goaltender. And then, like you said, like, things just weren't working out for him off the ice. And he was, you know, dealing with some serious illnesses, and he battled and beat them. And now is on the other side of that fence. So he can play, he can do his job better. And so that's what he's doing. And, it's actually a shame that people aren't, you know, making, a bigger, I know he's, and the team probably wouldn't appreciate, but like this is, and I'm sure when, you know, the NHL award ceremony comes around, and, you know, all the people who aren't talking about how great Robin Leonard is right now will start, you know, getting on their soapbox. But the fact that his game four performance should have been, you know, just blown out of proportion, just because of the type of guy. And there still are people that probably don't know his story. Like, this is when casual sports fans start to pay attention to hockey a little bit in the playoffs. And this guy's story deserves as much attention as it possibly can get. And it didn't after that night. It was all right though. I mean, seeing Valtteri Filppula hug him at the end of the game, just being like, oh. And the crazy thing is, I found out when I was reading, I think it was either Andrew Gross or Arthur Staples, like, story about the veteran presence of the team. Valtteri Filppula has been in the NHL for 13 seasons. And this is his 13th. He's made the playoffs 12 times.
Yeah, I had no idea.
That is,
do you believe that?
Unbelievable. And it goes to show you, like, all right, we this guy definitely is a bottom six forward. He's probably at this point, you know, even that at that level, like, that maybe even asking, like, a lot of him, depending on the system he's playing in. But he's obviously got something, because he's smart and he's got hands. And if you have, and he's got just enough speed, he's not fast, but he's got just enough speed that he makes it all work to make himself a winner. And so like, it wasn't lost on me that those were the two first guys on the TV after the Islanders made the playoffs. I was like, can you imagine a year ago someone saying, like, no, don't worry, Valtteri Filppula and Robin Leonard will be celebrating a first round sweep for you guys over the Penguins.
Yeah, no, I definitely couldn't. I didn't know that either. But I think it's more than just how he plays, too. I think he just knows how to, I mean, and this is a cliche from a lot of stories we've read all year, like, he just kind of knows how to carry himself throughout the season, and not, like, you know, we've heard all these things before, like, well, don't get too high, don't get too low. But I think he really does sort of carry himself like a guy who expects to be in the playoffs, you know. And I guess that was, I think, the 1 year he was with Philly, he missed, right? Or maybe it was one of his Tampa
Bay years. It was last year. Last year he made it. It was the year he got traded from Tampa Bay to Philly, which was, I think, the year before last. And it was very – I remember that trade going down. I'm like, that is – I didn't know Valtteri Filppula was even still in the league. But, I think you hit it on the head. And you saw that in that hockey hug at the end of the game was – you know, when I looked up from where I was sitting in the bar, I expected the Islanders to kind of be going nuts. And there was Philpa and there was Leonard, and it looked like they had just beat the Penguins in February, and that was it. You know, it was
it wasn't overstated at all.
And it was nice. And
even Barry Trotz was like, you know, they've been businesslike all season long, and, you know, they celebrated for a few minutes, and then, you know, okay, that's cool. Now we got to wait and see who comes up next. So, yeah, no, it's funny, though, you're talking about casual hockey fans. Let's take a break right now and hear from our sponsors, and then we're going to talk about a pretty famous casual hockey fan right after that. So, speaking of casual hockey fans, we here in New York have the sports pope, Mike Francesa, who is obviously, again, back on WFAN and his app. And so he had Lou Lamoriello on today to talk about the Islanders and what they're doing. And Mike betrayed very little knowledge of what what has actually been going on. But my favorite part was when he mentioned Robin Leonard, but he didn't talk about Leonard. He didn't mention his name at all. He was like, Lou, talk about the goalie. He's got an incredible story. I didn't know anything about it until somebody just told me. The kid's got a great season. Talk about the goalie for me, will you? And then he just let Lou do his thing. So the kid, by the way, is like 27 years old. And the kid's story came out in The Athletic in September. So good on you, Mike, for hearing all that. But it was a good interview, and I mean, you know, Lou's mastered the art of speaking and saying a lot without actually telling you anything. But I really thought it was interesting, and he talked about, you know, with Nassau Coliseum, how it was, the energy was great and the fans were great, but at the end of the day, it's not really an NHL arena, and the new arena is going to be where they you know, hope to play, and it's going to be beautiful. You know, had he had a chance to play at the Coliseum, the players had their choice, they would prefer to play at the Coliseum, but it doesn't really work that way. But if you can check it out, there was a link today in the bits. You should check it out for sure. But I just loved how we kept talking about the goalie,
yeah,
without mentioning Robin Leonard's name.
So I had known he was going to be having Lou on. So I sent Mike some notes. I texted him, and I said, it's funny that he didn't say his name. I haven't listened to the clip yet. But I sent him Robin Leonard, and then I parenthesized and I put the how to pronounce it. And unfortunately,
so we didn't get a Butch Goring Robin Leonard situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it took me forever to stop calling him Laner. And when I sent it to him, he just said, you know, he did his usual thing. Thanks. He was also very busy in radio war land with Michael Kay.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
Michael Kay.
So,
yeah.
You know,
actually, Lou was on Michael Kay also. I have not listened to that one yet.
Yeah, let's not. Don't listen to it. We don't want to give Mike the boost in ratings. we got to get Francesa back, back on top. But, Mike, I, this is, you know, I'm not even trying to, you know, toot my own horn. But, like, when the Islanders got off to a good start, and they were going to the Coliseum, I, you know, talked to him, and I was like, you know, if you want to go to the first game, we can. And I can't remember exactly what it was, what his response was when I said they were doing really well, and it was like great. But he said Lou, that was it. And then a couple weeks ago, when I texted him that they clinched, and he said he texted me back, great work. So Mike, you know, I guess he knows it's a whole, you know, it's everybody, it's the fans and Lou and.
Right.
That's about it. That's all he knows about the Islanders. Yeah. But
that's all you really need to know, though, because I think that, you know, this is this whole thing has just been like such a wild ride that we have enjoyed it. Like we have sat here, and this has been easily the most enjoyable season of this podcast that we've done, because we had good stuff to talk about. It wasn't all smooth sailing, but that's okay. But I mean, the Islanders right now are in the second round of the playoffs and are like literally waiting for a week to find out who they play. I mean, I don't want this to sound defeatist, because I obviously hope that the ride continues, but like, isn't the rest of this just kind of gravy at this point? Like when you've had 103 points and you're in the second round of and you sweep your way into the second round of the playoffs, like that's a successful season. I mean, nobody expected the Islanders to be here, and it has been a great ride, and it's been a ton of fun. And for us, you know, every day is a party. I mean, you know, we talked about game two at the Coliseum being a party. Like we talked about, you know, other games this season being a party, and that sort of feeling hasn't yet permeated out to the larger hockey world of fans. And I thought the best, my favorite actually thing about the sweep and my favorite quote to come out of that fourth game came from Matt Martin. And this is from Brian Compton's Twitter. Martin said, "We believe in ourselves. We pretty well just have our fan base and our families and this group that believe in us. That's all we need. We really don't need anyone else's validation." And I was like, I almost was in tears. Like, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing to say from, you know, a pretty sharp dude in Matt Martin. And I was just like, yeah, man, you're right. Like, this is all we need, which is we don't need other people's validation or like, you know, consent or praise or whatever. Like, it's just, this is the team right now. Like, just enjoy it. Like, just have fun. And I'm as guilty as anybody of doing this. I mean, last week I was saying I went looking for, you know, what hockey other people were saying after the Islanders took a 3-0 lead and found nothing and was disappointed by it. And so I need to remind myself of this too, but like, we should all heed the very sage words of Matt Martin. It's like, we don't need anybody's validation. This is us.
Yeah, you know? I did kind of a similar thing afterwards after the sweep and went right to on the tree, and I went to Darren Drager's Twitter and saw that he wasn't talking about a great story, but no. Yeah, I you're right. I mean, and we do it all the time, but I think that the thing the point you should drive home is that there isn't a fan base, there isn't a sports fan in the world that wouldn't trade places with Islander fans right now. The reason that these people are all upset is because the Islanders are defying the odds, and that's like, you know, you're having a magical season when people who are prognosticators and pundits and get paid to make predictions are getting upset at the fan base for giving them flack because they got it wrong. Like, that's a mark of a season that has gone exceedingly well. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how many people have texted me and like, you know, I've talked on Twitter, like, this is the best season ever. And it is. And this, the fact of where we started the season, you know, back in, I would honestly go back to like last January. I know someone in the comments last week had put like our show titles from start from that. And I think that's a good barometer because that's when we basically knew that last year's season was basically over and all focus went to the off season and, you know, making sure that they had locked down one of their most important players. And if you go from that to now, it is impossible for this moment to get lost on Islander fans just because they know exactly where they were, like in terms of being at rock bottom. Like, that was complete rock bottom in July. It was a long summer of just living in rock bottom. And then, you know, even like the first week or two of the season when the team was winning, but like, you're like, all right, it's not going to last. Like, sure, that wasn't rock bottom anymore. Like, it started to climb, but we can all remember that feeling, and that's why none of us, and I honestly say this with 100% confidence, that there's no Islander fan who is not just savoring every second of this. Even, and you said perfectly right off from the jump, like, even these days off, we're all just like, this is unbelievable the way this feels right now. There's just that, right. I wouldn't trade this. Like, think of all the shitty seasons. If they all you know, came to pass to get me to feel like this way, like, if they were worth it right now. Like, I don't care that, like, I'm laughing about those seasons right now, and I'm laughing about the way I felt in an empty Coliseum, you know, in 2009 or whatever, and watching a terrible team play and wondering if that's ever going to be worth it. And now I'm like, it's worth it right now.
Yeah. It occurred to me actually walking home yesterday and kind of thinking about all of the sweep and what I really thought about it. And so something occurred to me that I had never thought of before. And, like, you know, part of what makes this show fun is you and I have an encyclopedic knowledge of the failures of previous Islanders seasons going back to, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. And so we can talk about these things. And you know, that's part of what fandom is all about. It's kind of never forgetting and never forgiving. But, like, at this point, again, you know, we've got an 82-game season. We've now had a playoff round, although it is a 4-game playoff round. It's the best kind of playoff round, as long as you're on the right side of it. But, like, at this point, we're creating a sample size or a data set that we don't need to go beyond to kind of think, you know, predict what's going to happen with the Islanders in the future, because we don't need to, you know, these are the Barry Trotz Islanders. These are the Lou Lamoriello Islanders. We don't need to, you know, a lot of this season has been about kind of saying, well, you know, they'll lose that game. The Islanders always lose that game. Well, and then they win it. And so it's like, oh, well, they won. That's pretty cool. How many records have fallen? How many droughts? How many hexes have all fallen by the wayside this season that the Islanders have finally broken? I mean, Brendan Burke had a tweet like, hopefully one day we can stop talking about the Islanders doing this first thing in X amount of years, because this is the team now. And so we don't have to be like, well, you know, under Doug Weight, they totally would have lost that game, because Doug Weight's gone. Like, we don't have to worry about him anymore. We don't have to worry about Jack Capuano or Steve Sterling or Mike Milbury or whatever. Like, these are the Islanders. And so we can go back and be like, this is how they performed in this situation, because we've seen them perform in that situation. And that data set is only going to get bigger as time goes on. But we've already got plenty of time now. I was thinking about that road trip to Dallas and Phoenix, Colorado, Glendale, Vegas and Dallas, that the team basically says that was where the whole defensive idea kind of coalesced. I mean, that is a road trip that the Islanders lose 3 out of 4 of every single year for the past 15 years. But not this year, they didn't do that. You know, the game 4 against the Penguins is a game that they lose in any situation.
Yep.
Going back.
Think about how many times. Just think about game 4. The Islanders were up 2-1 forever. Just think about you, you, me, everybody listening to this podcast knows exactly how it would feel if the Penguins would score that goal. Like, you can feel it. You right now, you probably can feel it in your stomach. You can feel just the overall disappointment that goal would have caused, because it's happened, 6 to 7 million times in our lifetime? And this team, it didn't happen to them. It's amazing.
They're really rewriting a lot of what has gone before it. And we as Islanders fans appreciate that. We talked about that a lot. Like, you know, you had to have watched this team over the last couple of years to truly appreciate where they have gotten to. And a lot of people, quite frankly, didn't. And that's fine. I mean, we didn't expect them to. But, you know, they're just – the other thing, too, is, like, they're never going to get that kind of recognition. They're never going to have that kind of respect. It's just – it's not going to happen. And I was thinking about this today. Like, think of NHL teams as, like, basic cable channels. You know, like, some certain channels everybody knows and everybody has, like Food Network or HGTV or – Discovery Channel or CNN, like, everybody knows these channels. Everybody watches them. They don't even feel like cable channels anymore because everybody has them. And then some teams are like those channels way, way, way down at the bottom of the list that maybe you kind of watch every once in a while, or maybe you have a friend that watches, but nobody really pays attention to, like, you know, Boomerang or BET2 or MTV3 or like these kinds of channels. That's the Islanders. Like, the Islanders are basically like Boomerang or, you know, Cooking Channel. Like, I have Cooking Channel? Yeah, sure, here they are. Oh, yeah, I watch this once or twice, and then that's it. Like, that's kind of what they are. They're never going to be Food Network. They're going to be Cooking Channel. It's just kind of this off-brand, kind of weird, you know, offshoot of what the main channel is. And so, you know, that's just kind of how it is. And so we have to appreciate them for what they are and what they've been this season. And Carrie, our friend, had a pretty good thread about this on Twitter the other day, and basically, like, you know, the team has flaws, but at the same time, like, this is a great story. Like, people can say, like, you know, maybe they're not that good, but they can still appreciate the story for what it is and not diminish them, which is what a lot of, you know, Twitter personalities are doing. And that's kind of sad. And so I guess, you know, what I'm trying to say is you can tweet at Ryan Lambert and Dom from The Athletic all you want. You're not going to change their minds. Like, you know, we've been berating these people for years. People have been berating these people for years to take the Islanders seriously, and they have not, and they never will. So just enjoy your time off. Enjoy your team being in the second round of the playoffs, because this is – and again, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, because I do this too, but, like, we need to really appreciate this team for what it is and what this era is, because we don't need to worry about previous failures and previous eras, because they're dead. They're gone.
Yeah.
Now this is the sample now.
It's wild. And I think, you know, the fact that people are getting into these little, like, Twitter beefs and whatever is because, you know, well, we got just too much time on our hands. We got 9 more days or so until we got to play another hockey game. So, you know, they're just,
I mean, shit, Matt Martin and Casey Cizikas are at a Nets playoff game tonight. Do that. Jump on train, check out the Nets. They're in the playoffs too. So there you go.
I just think it's great. I mean, it's just not even worth getting into. And like I said, like, I did the same thing. And immediately yesterday, I, like, tweeted something that I was like, you know what, I shouldn't even kind of bother or whatever. But it's gonna happen. I think the other thing about that is like that this is now a clear new era Islanders team. Is like we talk Islanders nostalgia on this podcast all the time. I mean, for most of this podcast existence, the Islanders were terrible. So it's basically the only time we could like make light of the situation and laugh is talking about, you know, guys that were just footnotes in history. And now like those guys have like the, even on Bates thing, which we talked a lot about last year, like that got, that meant so much like in convalescing this, in bringing this, galvanizing this fan base to this point, like the fact that those guys, like those moments are, we wanted more of those. Like, and that's why guys like Sean Bates and, you know, the Kip Millers, the Mario Strzokowskis and Claude Lapointe and whatever, like those guys, that's why they mean so much, is because like they provided us with a chance, a moment, and to just like let it all out and to maybe like maybe go on a run with some magic to it. And now we're on one. So like, like those moments now are here. Like there's been several of them. Like in 4 years, we're gonna look back and we're gonna be like, man, that Jordan Eberle goal. And we're like, which one? But like, no, the one in game four, when after the Penguins looked like, I mean, for 30 seconds, I was sure the Penguins were gonna win that game 6-0, because and weirdly, I said to myself, just remember what you said on the show, is that, you know, you've been calmed down by the first Penguin goal every time. And I tried to calm myself down, and before I could even do it, Jordan Eberle was scoring, and I was like, "This guy's the best." So like these moments are happening now, and instead of, you know, where that's Sean Bates' penalty shot, or the way Dubowitz, you know, poke check, like those moments were celebrated at the time, and now they're just basically very, very little blips on the radar. We have much bigger ones now to just have forever, and that is, I think, you know, that has a lot to do with like these kind of, you know, annoying people online who have, you know, column inches and bylines and think that gives them the chance, you know, to make people to be condescending and just basically be a prick, is like they, like the other people in like everybody else in sports, like they'd kill to be the guy on this bandwagon. Like they would love to feel what we're feeling, and the fact that they can't is where you're seeing like this insecurity come out. Like, man, like If you want to tell me that you wouldn't be traded everything in your sports world to feel what it felt like to be inside Nassau Coliseum for one of those goals, or to feel what it was like to watch that puck slowly glide across the ice from Josh Bailey, like, you're wrong. Like, you, of course you would. Like, that's what sports are. Like, this is, we said it the other day, like, this is what sports are all about. It's like these opportunities, and the Islanders are still on one, and good God, they're just like, why wouldn't you be an Islander fan? Like, how could you not be an Islander fan? I've been asking myself that all day. Like, thank God for the Islanders. And for my whole life, it was never that. It was the exact opposite. It was, good God, why the Islanders? And now it's, thank God for the Islanders.
my other thing too, my feeling is, you know, I think a lot of people may kind of resist the idea of the Islanders being better, because if the Islanders get better, suddenly their teams start to look a little bit worse. And the reason I say that is because I think a little tiny bit happy that the Oilers are still pretty bad, because for years and years and years, it was almost like, you know, you could kind of compare these two rebuilds, and they both failed. I mean, let's be honest, they both have completely gone off the rails. Obviously, the Islanders John Tavares era is over, and now this new era is on, and the Connor McDavid era is in dry dock right now because they spent their money stupidly. But like, you know, if the Oilers start getting really good and start piecing together a team that can win a Stanley Cup, all of a sudden everybody else's teams start looking a lot worse. And it's the same with the Islanders. Like, you know, if you're a Flyers fan, your team missed the playoffs and, hey, you know, stuff happens. What are you going to do? And they need to be fixed. I got it. But like, if the Islanders go to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Stanley Cup Finals, or, you know, win it or whatever, or just like suddenly become a really good team, then that makes your team's path back to the playoffs that much harder. And they don't want that. So they're not going to like the fact that the Islanders are getting better. That's just a theory of mine. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure people would deny it.
I also think they don't, and we said this forever, like, they don't understand. Like, we're not just rooting for the team, like this paper surface team. Like, yeah, like we are rooting for a sports team, but just there's so many layers behind it that we are rooting for, and like things that we have built up behind these guys. And the coolest part of the whole thing, and that Matt Martin quote that you said in the beginning of the show, they know. Like, they know exactly why Islander fans right. are the way they are. And that's why they like playing in front of us. And they are enjoying this ride as much as we are. And right. those people on the other side can't wrap their heads around it because it honestly would be impossible for them to. So,
yeah, I mean, we've talked about how many times have the Islanders almost ceased to exist, you know, like, or they've been shuffled off to different arenas and different places and, you know, barely seem to be hanging on by a thread. The players know that. And they know that we know that, and they appreciate that we know that. And yeah, there's the connection there. And like you said, with former Islanders, you know, I'm on Twitter and you know, being happy that the Islanders won a playoff series. And whose tweet do I read? Adrian Acoin, because it was the same night that the Blue Jackets swept their series with the Lightning. And here's a guy who played for both, and he's like, "Hey, I'm happy for both these teams." I'm like, "Hey, good for you, man. Nice to hear from you again." So. Yeah, you know, it's been a wild ride, but I think it, you know, for the Islanders fan nation or Islanders country, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, it's a great moment, and we should not lose sight of what it is and enjoy it for what it is. And you know, it's like a new mile marker, basically. I guess.
That's great, O'Coin. He would be great. He would be another one that would just get a gigantic ovation.
At
the game, and I think, you know, that's the funny thing is. You know, pre-playoffs, when that announcement came out about Barclays and whatever, and the shuttle, or not, the fact they're shuttling games there for the second, third round, it's just amazing how little it's mattered to Islander fans. Like, sure, people are writing about it, and like, all the Islanders are going to have to make do at Barclays. I'm like, who gives a fuck? Like, this is the second round of the playoffs, man. Like, I would play, they could play, if they were playing, you know, at Madison Square Garden, if they were playing, you know, down the block from me, it wouldn't matter. If they were in the second round of the playoffs, this doesn't happen to this team. Like, I don't care, you know, and people are like, who would you rather play? And sure, like, I'll definitely give some thought to who I'd rather play. But at this point, I just want to play whoever's, like, more banged up. Like, it doesn't matter. I would play, you know, I'd play the 1980 Soviet team. Like, it's the second round of the playoffs. The Islanders are still going to be one of the last eight teams left in the NHL.
It's pretty wild. So, I think also people, like, they remember 2016, and that place got pretty loud. And I don't remember anybody complaining about Barclays Center at all throughout that entire playoff run. Like, it was what it was. And, you know, nobody complained. I mean, the trains are still going to suck, and you're going to buy crappy seats. I got it. But, you know, you're in the building for a second round playoff matchup. Like, that's just how it is, and I think people are going to like it. And you know, I mean, would we all prefer it at the Coliseum? Yeah, but you know what? When it comes to like TV setups and suite sales and seats, logically, it can only be in one place. But I think the Islanders fans are going to make that place what it was. And to be honest, the team itself won as many games at Barclays this year as it did at the Coliseum. So. I think the players, I don't think the coaching staff or the leadership of the team is going to make it a big deal. I think Anders Lee is going to say, no, we're playing at Barclays and you guys are going to play there and play well. So there you go.
And I've been loving Anders Lee so much with those like little vignettes after and games hat. And his great hat.
That hat is great.
He's another one. Like, I mean, the Islanders are a handsome team, man.
They very
Anders
are.
Lee and Martin, Val Filippo, that's first team all handsome right there. Like, good God.
I agree. I was answering questions from a friend of ours at Nux Misconduct, and he was like, how great is Matt Barzal? And I'm like, we love everything about him. I love his style, his hair, his cockiness. He's great. He's the best. And when he basically froze out John Tavares at that tribute video thing, it was even better. It was awesome. But yeah, no.
He was awesome through this series, man. He didn't score. He had 4 or 5 assists.
He had 5 assists in 4 games. Buzzing.
And the best part of the series was him getting just mauled by Brian Dumoulin and retaliated because obviously didn't like it at the time. But looking back on it now, I'm like, I'm glad that he did that because he showed like maybe he showed like he'll retaliate or whatever. Like, I'm happy he did that because that you can guarantee that tape was shown to the ref and the officiating crew, like, hey, like, this guy was getting beat to shit and you guys didn't call it, and then you called the retaliation, so, you know, let's keep an eye on that going forward. But like, I just loved the fire out of him. He was really mixing it up, and he was awesome. I mean, he any chance he had against that bad defense, like, when he saw, I think he must have just loved seeing Jack Johnson on the ice.
Oh my God, he was going right after him.
Could see. It was great. I almost felt bad for Jack Johnson a little bit during the series, and then I stopped myself. But yeah, he was just awesome.
Well, they got 3 more years of him in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. It was a 4-year contract. So, yeah, it was that was not a good scene. And I like when they're like, "Oh, they're going to insert him." And I felt bad for Jack Johnson cuz they this is a total aside, but he had played all 82 games and was, you know, a regular player for them, and then game 1 he gets healthy scratched. And apparently he took it pretty hard, and Mike Sullivan took it pretty hard. Like, he didn't want to scratch him, but I guess I forget who he put in. Oh, it was Olimata, I guess. And you know, in fairness, like, Mata had won 2 cups with the Penguins, so like, it seemed like a pretty good idea, even though, you know, Mata had not had a great season. So of course, what happens? The Penguins lose. Mata played very, very poorly in that game. So here comes Jack Johnson, and well, he didn't help. Let's just put it that way. So what a career that guy's had, boy. That's so odd. Anyway, he's a whole podcast of himself. I'm surprised there isn't one already, like the Jack Johnson experience.
Yeah, there'll be like a Wondery or like Gimlet, like doing like a Jack Johnson one with like audio and like music and stuff and a narrator and voice actors.
That's one for like a Kings fan to like, because that's where it started. Yeah. The whole thing, you know, and the whole journey of Jack Johnson. Wow. If you're out there, you want to make a narrative hockey history podcast, The journey of Jack Johnson. There you go. Credit me as an executive producer. We'll be all right. Okay, so we have no game to talk about coming up because the Islanders don't have an opponent yet. And like I said off the top, the Hurricanes and Caps are now tied because the Hurricanes...
Yeah. And TJ Oshie went down hard.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
That looks
officiating
bad.
In the playoffs. It's the best there ever is. Yeah, so we'll have to see what happens. We'll definitely... I mean, once that's set, we'll definitely talk. So now... That series is definitely going to go at least 6 games, and game 6 would be on Monday. So that pretty much gets us right up to where we would be anyway. It's now is a great time. Again, just right, the same thing we said right up front. Like, we don't get these opportunities very often to just sit back, relax, watch a bunch more hockey, and know that your team has already advanced. And honestly, right now, they have a better chance of winning a Stanley Cup than the Penguins, Lightning, Flames, and Sharks. Now, that's, you know, that's a huge, huge thing. And we could just, you know, it's never going to get better than this. And you know, hopefully a week from now, they pick up right where they left off.
Yeah, I think Dom brought up a great point on the site. He was like, you know, the people are talking about, oh, you know, is the layoff going to hurt this team? And this team is not that type of team that is – like a form team at all. Like, they will, this is a grind it out. Every game is treated very separately and game planned for separately. So I'm really not worried about it. I'm looking at the time off for the team is definitely much more of a plus than a negative.
Yeah, they had 2 days off, which is rare also, but I mean, this team won that series essentially by saying every game is a new game won. And so I expect them to take on the actual game 1 of the second round like that too. So hopefully they can do that. We'll see what happens. Real quick, again, no NHLnames.com NHL name of the week because we don't know who they're going to play, but we'll come up with something good later on. SneakyAthletic.com. You should go there, buy some stuff. Put anxiety in the discount code box. You save yourself 10%. They got some great stuff there. The GOAT, Matt Barzal is the GOAT, as we just said, so you should definitely get some cool stuff there. Put anxiety in the discount code box. You save 10%. SneakyAthletic.com. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. What else? What am I forgetting?
I don't know. I don't think so.
The awards show finalists are starting to roll out. The Jack Adams is one of the last ones, so I think that's like next Tuesday or something like that. But Masterton will be soon, and King Clancy came out. I wouldn't be surprised to see Anders Lee a finalist for that with all of his Cancer Jam charities and other stuff he does. So we'll have to see what happens there. But expect Robin Leonard's name to pop up a few places. Barry Trotz's name to pop up at least one place that we know of. So
yeah,
that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, that will be cool. I know, like, I really like Hall of Fame discussions and All Star games and that kind of stuff. I don't really get involved. I just like. I like the Islanders just like too much. Like, I like, you know, like that much, like the game to game stuff too much that I don't really care about. But this year, of course, will be a little different because I can't wait to see, you know, what these guys come away with. I still think I might just make a vote for Rory Fitzpatrick kind of thing. That I feel like Val Filppula or Casey Cizikas should get the Rocket Richard Trophy because when you wait, when you prorate their goals for who they're coming from, I think those two guys lead the league in goal scoring.
Yeah, seems that way anyway. Well, Valpilpula still definitely leads the league in awesome goals scored.
Yes, there you go. Sure.
But this year, that incredibly awkward award show in Las Vegas might be something we have to watch for once.
Is Jay Moore? Yeah, and Jay Moore usually hosts it.
They should just go with it. They should do an Oscars thing and just go without a host, or a PK Subban.
No, yeah, exactly. They should just have a player host it like that, like a guy from, and you know, knowing the NHL, they'll go with like Jeremy Roenick or something. But they should, yeah, they should really just have like a player with some personality do it. But
yeah, well, there's only one player with personality, and it's PK Subban, and I think he did host it. I don't know. This is. we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but anyway, tell everybody your Twitter account again.
It's the Big Lebowski with two E's.
You should follow Mike at the Big Lebowski with two E's. He might regret some of his tweets, but we definitely do not regret any of them because they are great and they are very entertaining. Shit. You should follow him there. And we will be back when the Islanders will be back, whenever that is. We'll figure it out. Sit back, watch some games, and enjoy. Your team's in a second of the playoffs. That's pretty awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we'll be back next week, I guess. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.